Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring.
Okay. Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so glad that you have entered into the building today and you have tuned in, amen, to study the Word of God. Welcome in the name of Jesus. On behalf of Archbishop Duke W. Smith, we thank God for you, and especially you. Another day that we are allowed to be here, amen, and to live. Hallelujah. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. We found new mercy early this morning. Hallelujah. And we thank God for another hour, another time that he allow us to stay here, amen, in the land of the living. So we thank God for his mercy, his grace, and his peace. Truly, he's worthy to be praised. And we exalt him. We lift his name high. We magnify him because truly he is a great God. And we bless his name today. Light of the World is located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Hallelujah. You can find us on YouTube. You can go to our website, comingtothelight.org, and you can meet us here as Wednesday night, Wednesday noonday, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. Woo! You can't get enough of Light of the World. Hallelujah, because we are the light of the world. Hallelujah. And today we are studying Romans, the 8th chapter. So before we get started, we're going to open the word of prayer, and then we're going to get into this word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a word of prayer from our missionary, Ollie.
Let's stand up and reverence
Hallelujah.
God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we welcome your spirit into this place right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into this place right now, Father. Now, Lord, we come before you. We come before you giving thanks, Father. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless us to break bread together, Father. That you will bless us, Father, to learn from one another, Father, to encourage one another, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Lord, we ask that you will bless this place. Sing your anointing, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Because your anointing is what breaks the yoke, Father. Lord, send down your Shekinah glory, Father. Let it just flow, Father. Light a spirit of fire, Father, within this place, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you, Father, for those who are on their way, Father. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity, Father. Because so many people do not have this opportunity, Father. Lord, you said in your word that we must work while it is day, Father. Because you said when the night comes, that no man works, Father. And Father, we just ask you to bless us the right way.
Divide the word of truth, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my mind. I'd like to take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning,
got out of my bed. I looked around, here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. See, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh death, you told it to get back and behave.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. Oh, wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand and give God all the praise. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Ooh-wee, another blessing.
I got the tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive, I got my lungs, and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings he's given to me. Bless my family, and they're doing fine.
Another blessing. Hallelujah. Every day we wake up, we ought to say, ooh, we. Another blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord today. And again, we in Romans 8. Hallelujah. And we're going to begin today at the 10th verse. But just to recap, when Paul is saying that we, therefore now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And because we are in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so the flesh he's talking about is death, the spiritual death, the certain way of eternal death, and it is the death of the soul. For it is alienated from God. When Adam sinned, it breaks that connection with man, and that separation now is restored by what Jesus did on the cross. And so, whatever sin we have committed, The penalty have been paid. So, hallelujah. That's a good reason to shout. Hallelujah. The penalty of your sin has been satisfied.
Yes.
So, therefore, there is now no condemnation because that has been satisfied. And we thank God for Jesus coming down and satisfying that just for us. He was doing fine where he was. He was doing real good. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so I begin to think about, we talk about walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. And we talk about the carnal mind is enmity against God. And I begin to think about it. So sometimes we think that when we say somebody's walking in the flesh, we think it's a physical thing. But everything we do is spiritual because we are spiritual beings. And so we can get caught up in that was my flesh. That means that's a deed I've done. But no, whatever we do, it starts in the spirit. That's why it's called a spiritual mind and a carnal mind. A mind is a spirit, is not a flesh. Amen. Now, it can be fleshly because it's carnal, but it's not flesh. And so a lot of times we get mixed up in just dealing with the flesh, but our spirit is fleshly or carnal. So we got to be careful in how we look at it, because if we don't, we'll miss a lot of things. Because when we were brought up, we've been taught certain things. We learn certain things. So our soul is the one who's corrupt, because our soul is our expression. The reason why we got a soul is because God wanted us to express ourselves to him. But that get accumulated with all kind of stuff as we grow. When we're born, some of them come from our nature, and we got generational stuff that come when we are born. It's a part of who we are, and that's a part of our soul. That's how we respond to God based on what's in our soul. And that spirit of our inheritance that we have is not necessarily fleshly, but it's carnal, because it was given. It wasn't given by God. It was not given by God. It's carnal. It's earthly, and so. So the things that our fathers gave us, our parents gave us, and the things that they taught us is what our soul is full of. Then the experience that we got through the years is what our soul collects. And so that's why our soul needs to be saved. Because it has been collecting stuff ever since before we got here. Before we got here, the soul has been collecting stuff over and over, and so as we collect stuff, it piles up, and so our love for God is tampered by and is altered by how we receive what we got. And it's not our fault, because you didn't decide where you're going to be born. I didn't decide I was going to be a businessman. I didn't decide I was not going to be born in the Ku Klux Klan. It could have been me. With a rag on. You know, so, but whatever we're born with, now that's why we need regeneration.
Hear people say, well, that's just the way I am. And it's true. And it is of a truth. But you don't have to stay that way.
There you go.
Hallelujah, because of what Romans is telling us
right
now.
Yes.
Yeah. A change can come about. Amen. So you're right. People are right when they say it, but the thing is, they don't realize they don't have to stay
right
that way, you know, in that sin nature corner.
And when you hear people talk, it tells you where they are.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them long enough.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you that's who they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody is comfortable with the way they are, they'll tell you about it. They'll brag about it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll even use it as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to be nasty and all that stuff, and you think it's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I was watching a movie last night, the night before, on Christian channels, but I believe the name of it is called Silver Twins. Mm-hmm. And it was Jewish twin guys that were brought up. Even when they were just little babies, the dad already said they're going to grow up to be Jewish men that marry Jewish women, and all of this was in them. So when they were in this college and was exposed to different, you know, religions and stuff, and then Christianity came upon, and one of them admitted, he said, it's hard for me to convert because I was born and bred in this particular religion and environment. And he said, I know what you're saying, but it's hard for me to conceive because I was never taught that the Messiah has already come. Mm-hmm. And even then, I think it was in the 1980s or whenever this thing was supposed to occur, 1990s, that they were still waiting. And what they were taught, mm-hmm. according to the Torah, and it was hard for him to conceive to come out of that. Mm-hmm. He said that as much as studying as he knew, and he could read it, but his mind couldn't, you know.
Yeah, and you know what was really crazy is that even though we are waiting for something to happen, when it happens, we don't believe.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Because remember, the Jews were waiting for Jesus to come.
Yeah.
He came, and they still didn't accept him, right?
Yeah.
But the lady at the well,
mm-hmm.
the little lady at the well,
yeah.
she said, now, when she heard the word of knowledge coming from Jesus, let her know where she was,
mm-hmm.
with all of her husbands, she began to say, I perceive, you are a prophet.
Yeah.
And then she said, guess what? The Messiah is going to come and tell us all of the stuff he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? So she said, we are waiting
mm-hmm.
on the Messiah to tell us
mm-hmm.
the things that you're telling me right now. And Jesus said, hey, don't look no further. I am he. So now she did what the Jews wasn't ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
She accepted him as the Messiah.
Yes. Yeah.
She dropped the water pot and went to the city.
Yeah.
Come see a man.
I know that's right.
Right? Yeah. Because she was waiting,
mm-hmm.
earnestly waiting on it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we be waiting, but we ain't really waiting on
it. Mm-mm.
We just saying, you know, he don't come.
Yeah.
But we ain't really waiting.
Yeah.
And wait. So let me just say this. Because you remember when Peter was in prison, right?
Yeah.
And they had a prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That Peter should be released.
Right.
The prayer was answered. Peter knocked on the door. Guess what?
Was it amen?
Yeah. They didn't believe.
They didn't believe.
So that's what our carnal mind do though.
Mm-hmm. You already said a portion of what I was going to say. You know, sometimes we are sitting around waiting and Jesus is right there near us. We don't even recognize him as being there, but
mm-hmm.
we are waiting. That's why we need to be sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
He's not transformed to this world. You got to be transformed by the renewing. Your whole mind got to change. Because what you have been taught, what you have been nurtured, what you have been indoctrinated with has to change. We came up, when we say this world, we think it's just the world system, but it's the world, it's the carnal part of who the world is. The earthly, only about what's here, not eternal. And so you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's Jesus' first real message he preached, the Beatitudes. And when I was growing up, I thought the Beatitudes was just about blessings. But it wasn't, it ain't about that at all. It's just telling us we need to change our ways of thinking. He was saying, listen, you think blessed is when you're rich, but blessed are the poor in spirit. He's just trying to tell them your way of thinking is wrong. Not that you're going to be blessed. Well, we call it the Beatitudes. Because we think about it's just being blessed. Be blessed, blessed this, blessed. No. He's trying to tell them it, and he even went down to even a divorce, even a murder. I mean, everything he went right down to tell them, where you're thinking of these things is wrong. You need to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About, and I was a finite mind. We look and we see Jesus coming, dress a certain way, looking a certain way. He's not going to come that way. That's why we got to be very sensitive. And when we talk about love, we got to demonstrate love, not just in the church, but out there also. We got to really demonstrate it, because you don't know who you're dealing with. Don't think Jesus going to come and sit tied to you with a suit and with his hair laid and smelling good. He may come to you smelling really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we really need to be sensitive how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't think about the world system and how the system normally runs. We got to think about what God is saying. Okay? That's being led by the Spirit, meaning that we got to listen to what the Spirit is telling us, not going by what we think we know. Because what we think we know is stuff that has been built up and indoctrinated in our souls. That's what we do. We operate on that. You know, it's amazing how if I'm leaving home, coming to church, and I've been doing that for a minute, right, I don't have to think about where I'm going. I can be in a conversation driving here and didn't know how I got here. Because subconsciously, I'm driving because I'm used to doing it. Right? That's how we live our life. Some things we get used to doing, so if we hear something different, we're resisting it. Because it's not normal. It's not normal. It's not, when I say normal, it's not regular. It's not familiar. And so when it's not familiar, we reject it. As if, dang for me, this is the way we do. This is the way my mama said. This is the way we, you know, you heard the story about the lady cooking a ham. And every time she cooked it, she cut it in half. Cut it in half. And so her grandchildren asked her, why are you cutting it in half? They were trying to figure out why they're doing it. I don't know. And then when she come to find out, that her grandmother did it because the oven wasn't big enough. So I had to cut it so it could fit inside the pan. The pan was too small. So they just doing it because grandmother did that way. And my mama did that way. And now I'm doing it that way. Without even thinking about, well, why are we doing this? You're just doing it because that's the way we do it. And so that's what our lives are based on. Our soul is full of stuff that we've been taught and that we have gathered from experience. Whatever psychotic stuff that we get, no matter what where we dealt with, how we dealt with grief, how we dealt with all these things that we lose from this, we didn't have our parents doing this, and they didn't do that. All this stuff has accumulated in our soul. And so when we come to the church, we got to be delivered from that stuff. And our soul got to be renewed daily. That's why Paul says he died daily. And that his body is dying. And when we say we got to crucify the flesh, it don't mean the physical flesh. It means the spirit, the carnal spirit of the being, our soul. Right. So the mind, your thinking is based on the flesh, on the earth, is going to death because the flesh is condemned to die. Because anything we, and I think we said this last week, anything that's related to time has a duration. And this body has time. And so there's an expiration. And so if you're thinking towards the body, you're thinking about death. Because there's a time, there's an expiration on it. So we should not think on the natural things, you ought to think on the eternal. Because there's no expiration. Hallelujah. There's no expiration. So whether you are separated from God or going to be with God, there ain't no expiration. But choose you this day. who you gonna serve. Amen. And so I was just thinking about how we, a lot of times we get lost in, but it's no, it's a spirit. That's called our soul. That's accumulate all this stuff. You think about all the stuff that you accumulated since you been before you got here. It has you lived your life. All the stuff you accumulate. That's why we got that day. We got to whack that stuff off every day. And that's why God gives us new mercies every day, because he know we need it. We got to take that stuff off every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the experience you might have even since you got up this morning. Somebody might have called you, fuss you out. Somebody might have crossed you on the highway. No matter, all of this stuff comes, and if you don't be careful, they will get into your soul, because they're going to get in your mind. Entertain that stuff, it's going to start living. It starts growing.
So just y'all can see how embedded things can be even for small children. I mean, if y'all, you know, deal with that. So even those 6, 7, 8 years old, they already have that. And like I said, y'all deal with that. So I don't know.
But yes. I mean, for real. It's already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their personality is 5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
They already got a lot already in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're working there. Mm-hmm.
And so it's scary, really, to think about all the stuff that your soul collects.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't take stuff out, think about the garbage being collected in your soul on a regular basis. And so when you see somebody who is demonic, and there has been demonic for you, think about the other spirit that has been affected. You know, we talked about, you know, from the Church of Florida, we kept that. It was on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
This brother was testifying. Him and the biggest brother in our church, 400
yeah.
pounds. The little lady, smaller than Sister Olive, had both of them. He's 400 pounds. Good lady. He testified.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my wife about it some years ago, but he brought it up.
Yeah.
And when you deal with that, could you imagine? And this is why I know his spirit, because the girl is petite.
Mm-hmm.
And what you think you can blow and she fall down. But I'm talking about a muscle-bound, man, he's still built really good. And this other brother is 6'5", 400 pounds. And she had both of them. I say one now. Both of them. And one of them got thrown on the ground. And so when you think about that spirit, and the spirit has been there for years, so it has too many. It got stronger and stronger. So when we get saved, that's why we got to continue. He said modify, to kill. Any thought that comes into your head that wasn't godly, God rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. I come against it right now, so it don't take no root.
Because
if it ever take root in your soul, it's going to be a stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Bible says you got to cast on the imagination, because it's where?
In
your mind.
Right there.
And so that's what I'm saying. It's not, don't think about it as, when you say carnal mind, don't think of it as a physical flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spirit in our soul collection on the regular. But we need a filter. When we come to Bible study, when we come to church, we get purged.
Purged.
We get purged. We got stuff. Get it out of me, God. What do you got to do? Because if you still collect on your, cause your mind, if you entertain it, right? it's gonna find you. And the thing about it is that if you start thinking about something, it's so funny how that same thing would come up something. Like if, even if you, okay, I just bought the truck, right? Yeah. All of a sudden I bought it. All of a sudden I started seeing this stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? Did that ever happen to you?
Oh,
it's so that's what I'm saying. That, the mind is so, now all of a sudden my mind is alert to it because I got it. Right? So when stuff comes in your mind, you will be alert to it no matter what it is, good or bad. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to be very careful not to allow our soul, when we accumulate stuff in the food, on our daily basis, we got to purge it from us. And you say modify, and then you're going to take a knife and kill yourself.
Right. Right.
But that soul, you're going to go and you're going to soak that stuff out of you, out of that soul, but not out of your physical.
Right.
And so a lot of times we get mixed up in physical. That's why we see how somebody dress. We see how they look all this other stuff. And then the spirit is so different. You can be dressed up real good. And that spirit, man, looks like a wolf.
Right.
Looks like a bear. And so we got to be very, very careful to recognize that our soul is affected. That's why you got to guard. That's the battleground. Right there, where we can pull down every stronghold and bring into captivity against and anything that rises up against the knowledge of God. Listen to what he's saying now. As they come against the knowledge of God, we got to pull it out. So when you hear something, put it against the knowledge of God, and then you know whether you need to pull it down or receive it. You got to have a filter. We all have filters anyway, but we have to have the right filter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Ghost is our filter.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we walk in the Spirit. Because we have a filter that whatever comes to our mind, that filter tells us, ain't me. And you're going to know that's not God. Hey, okay. Something really different about that. Something strange about that. When you pray on that thing, you get clear. Okay.
And so, God has given us, but God has given us instructions, and if we would really focus in on those instructions that is in the Word, he says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he get old, he would not depart from it. So therefore, when he was talking about the little kids, when we see the little kids and we see how they are acting, we also now see the parents. And we then see why they are acting that way. So it is part of our job as parents and grandparents to try to help the kids to grow up before they even know who God is, but try to train them so when it's time for them to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's no problem with receiving it and train them and help them because, you know, the little kids, they can't get all that stuff out of them. They don't know anything about getting all that stuff out of them. So, therefore, it's the parents. That's why it is the Bible is saying train up the child in the way that he should go. Somebody had to train me. I had to train my parents. I had to train my kids, and then they got to train their kids. So he gave us some instruction.
Yeah. My son, Dem, is getting ready to have food. The other day I was in prayer, the Lord gave me something to give to them. And I will just share this. I said, the Lord said that you got to speak the word within the womb.
In the womb. Mm-hmm.
You don't wait till the child come out, but you got to start the protection right now.
Right.
Because the Lord brought to my attention, well, we messed up it. We wait till the child is born.
Mm-hmm.
No, you start while they're in the womb because they can hear what you are saying. I mean, the Lord gave me a lot of good stuff
spirit.
To tell him. But then again, well, I'm trying to get him to see, even though I told you, Satan heard me when I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to keep it covered, you know, with the blessing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. That's right. You got to.
So, but the good thing about grace is, even though the parents may not be able to put in you what they need to, the grace of God would allow you to be extended gift. And we have kids who They're jacked up. Take the testimony of John Page. His parents just dropped him off and didn't release him. I can't do nothing. I get an awesome man of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God have his hand on your life. That he can erase all of that. And so we thank God for his grace. That's what I'm saying, grace. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We all could have been all jacked up. But his grace is what keeps us. So while we know God, while we experience God, now our job is to make sure we keep our soul clean. Just like we keep our body clean,
mm-hmm.
we have to keep our soul clean on a regular basis.
Only God can all control and delete. Because when we do it on the computer, then they can go back and pull it up. But when God does it, it's
great. That's right. Good job. It's done.
Okay. That's how you get rid of that stuff.
Control or delete.
And don't just put move the trash. You gotta empty the trash. If you're sitting in the trash, you can retrieve it. You gotta empty that trash. You gotta empty that trash on that computer. Go ahead.
Just, you know, you just talking about putting spirit garbage in if you don't, and then in the natural sense. In the natural sense too, that if you just keep, you know, putting food, and you don't use your, I'm trying to make it decent, your release
mechanism.
And even simple in the medical field to say if you never had that for you and build milk.
Oh my.
Yeah. So
poison.
It'll poison your system
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you will die. So in the natural is one way, and in the spirit is the other thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you never purge and flush
mm-hmm.
that, you know, then that's when about that means death.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and the spiritual life goes right along with the physical, and that's why Paul and other people use it. Jesus did to try to open up our understanding by using carnal stuff. That's what parables were. You know, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? And so, this body, and that's why he formed the church as the body, right? Same way. So I think we're able to get a couple verses in. Amen. But we want to get the essence of this word, y'all. We want to get the essence of this word. So we're going to start at verse 10 and 11. I'm going to ask Elder David.
10 and 11.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised of Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. In order to get make any progress to get anywhere in this natural world, it's all about Christ, the spirit of Christ being in you. And you get that spirit in you when you give your life to Christ. Holy Ghost come in, come upon you, come around you, know, whatever he does. And it says in Acts that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you shall have power. in the beginning, when we come into this world, the Bible says we are born into sin and we're shaped in iniquity. So when we come in this world, we hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
And because it says also that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the air. And when we come into this world, unless we have somebody to pour into us the Spirit of Christ, the things of Christ, the word of God, that's why in the early days, very few of our parents and grandparents had any kind of education. A lot of them couldn't read. Some of them, when they went to buy something on credit, mm-hmm. they had to mark an X. The thing of this, they knew the word. They knew the Bible. Because they took one scripture and put it in their heart. That's what we're supposed to do. Take this word, put it in the heart. And the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because of issues of life come from the heart, or is buried in the heart,
mm-hmm.
And you have to guard your heart. But then it says in the New Testament, in Philippians 4 and 6, that God will guard your heart and mind. But in order to get God to guard your heart and mind, you have to make God your God. You have to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And so the devil is trying to keep us calm with him so that we can't understand the things of God. The Bible says that a man who's calm cannot, it's impossible for him to understand the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to question God, which brings up this unbelief. And I think unbelief is one of the worst things that can happen to us. But it happened to Jesus. And Jesus was going around, preaching and all this stuff, and he went back to his hometown. He said he couldn't do, there were a lot of miracles, things he couldn't do or didn't do,
mm-hmm.
because of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So all Satan wants to do is put that doubt in there, put that unbelief, or anything he can do to get us to say or think anything that's contrary to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
What we think, if we don't control it, you know, James will bring every thought.
Mm-hmm.
Limit the sin of God and resist the devil, and he'll resist you. But see, all Satan wants to do is put that thought in your mind. If you don't submit it to God, bring an submission to God, then that thought stays there long enough,
mm-hmm.
then it gets into your heart. That's where he wants to be.
That's mm-hmm.
why he can't do anything with your heart or to your heart, but he wants to put that doubt
out.
You know, Mark 11 and 23 says, when you pray and you doubt not, mm-hmm. that you will have those things that you say when you pray. Or he wants to put, it's like eating a handful of roasted peanuts,
mm-hmm.
and those things sure look good. They're still hot.
Mm-hmm.
Get down to the last one, and the last one is rotten.
Yep.
That kills the whole experience. Ones that you ate before, that's all you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I just say a little dab will do you. little dab will do you in. That's all Satan wants to do. And he does everything he can. Now, he's not omnipotent. He's not, he don't know everything. But where does he get this information? Some of it through us,
mm-hmm.
through his angels, his imps, and all, anything he can. Conversation between two Christians about Elder Butterfield, about Pastor Rue, about anybody in the church. Girl, you know I heard this.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you know what? You know what? I don't like him. He walked
mm-hmm.
past me,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't speak. Who doing here tonight Bible study? Elder Butterfield, oh, no, I ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
What you going to like about him? I don't know. I just don't. Just serving by Elder Davis, I just can't stand. He always poking at folks and messing with people, and all this cracking jokes and all that stuff. Well, that's part of personality. You know, that's what I'm supposed to do. So God created me the way I am. I don't like Bishop so-and-so because he always praising. He always passing out, putting on airs and all this stuff. But same thing. You worry about your own. What you say, Philippians 2 and 12, work out your own
salvation.
Yeah. Everything that you do, do it unto the Lord,
yeah.
And not unto man. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
And if a brother be caught up in a mistake, you who are spiritual, you go spiritual now.
Mm-hmm.
Restore him in a spirit of meekness,
mm-hmm.
unless you will get into some other stuff, some of your mess.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
If we adhere to the word of God in a spiritual way, see, some of us, you know the word of God, and you assume that they're spiritual, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some of us, you know, can quote the Bible back forth, inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Some can pray till the paint come off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Some can preach to the ceiling, hit the floor,
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. But when they get out,
mm-hmm.
they go and do things contrary
to the word.
Mm-hmm. But we said last time we did that, Hebrews 4 and 12, word of God is a discerner of the intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Who does God give that word to? Does he give it to the bishop? Does he give it to anybody who asks? Or is it just for God? But God gives us a way of knowing those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, some people who are like that, the best place for them to be is in church.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard anybody get saved that night, but I heard of people who come to church for years and not saved. I've known people who go to church, the whiskey and the breath. I went to a wedding a couple of times drunk. In both of the weddings was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a con on me. And I thought I was having a good time. I thought it was funny. But I don't think God thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't given my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after having gone through some stuff with that same alcohol,
mm-hmm.
that God took the taste out of my mouth,
mm-hmm.
now I can look back and have a compassion
mm-hmm.
for people who are alcoholics.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
who are heavy with some, may
yeah,
not be alcohol,
some issue, maybe
addiction,
yeah,
know,
addiction.
And all kind of addiction, you know. And a lot of people hide their addiction. Like women will hide their being abused
mm-hmm.
and our children being abused and
mm-hmm.
all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is in his word.
In the word.
Right
mm-hmm.
here. Born mm-hmm. from call to spirit.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Take two in verse 11, because mine says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And I think that's the key word, dwell in you, not come to rest upon you for a certain thing, and which it did, you know, even that the Spirit did work, God sent it to work that way several times. But once Jesus came, and, you know, because that's what was some of the problem with the apostles, and they were with him, disciples, and did this, and you know, he allowed them to do things, and they was wondering why they couldn't cast out, you know, the demons.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I'm with you, I'm learning of you, I'm walking with you, you know. But the thing is, in Acts, that's when, you know, you have to wait now. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and then if he dwells in you, he lives there. You were saying about, you know, it's in your heart. He's going to take root. And he's going to fasten himself, you know, to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that it'll take root and sprout in depth. It's going to be his living,
mm-hmm.
his living place, his dwelling. And so now, you know, that makes a difference between people just going up to the altar, getting emotional,
you know, what we call emotional salvation, you know, you know. And then that's why you see, you know, it fade off, fade away. So I thought this was a very important thing. They said, and I have the American Standard, New American Standard, dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, and that's the old, the King James say, quicken your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. And it says it again. How this will happen, how you get life, how you be quickened to do or to act in righteousness because he dwells in you, he lives.
All right. Good
job.
You know, I think the problem in the church, and I'm not just talking about this church, there are so many different spirits going on that people think it's the Holy Spirit, and it's not the Holy Spirit. It's some other type of spirit. Just because I go up there and I get a little shake, that don't mean I have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest problem right there. Because anyone that got the Holy Spirit, the Bible cannot lie. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. It's a teacher. And when I leave out of my house, it's not going to have me coming up in here half naked. It's not going to have me coming up in here rolling eyes at my sister for no reason, or saying that I don't like her for no reason. It's not going to have me acting unseemly. That's all I'm trying to say. So, you know, try the spirit by the spirit. That's all I got to say.
Awesome. Okay. You know, mentioning how people gossip and talk about, you know, I like, I don't know the scripture exactly, but I look it up, but I think it's in Psalms that say, the fowl of the air, take these things and put it in other people's hearing and spirit in their heart. So when you gossip and speak negative things, the fowls of the air, which is demonic spirit, you know, sent by, and then they just, that's all they want to hear that, and now they take that into, you know, to somebody else or whatever, and I don't know how they receive it. But then, you know, they can say, well, oh, so-and-so's talking about me. But and that's the job of the enemy, is to see that now into your hearing and let you be aware so he can keep enmity, you know, enmity between those that are called to be saints. And so that we know that's it's a difference between churchgoers and kingdom dwellers. So, you know, so that's why I was just on this thing about dwelling, living, rooted in you. So you can have the power to do what we were saying in the beginning of the lesson, to, you know, cast it off, you know, whatever these bad thoughts or doubts that come to you. And then you could just say, you know, look at the hand. I'm not hearing it. You know, get away from it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was young, you know, 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, we used to hang around grown folks and just try to hear what they're saying. And I used to see people talk, 3 or 4 grown folks talking in the air, talking, standing around talking, and one of them would say, call out a wrong name. And they would say, oh, so must be talking about me because I just accidentally called out the name. But they went back to a scripture in Ecclesiastes 10:20 says that don't talk about the king even in your bedroom because a thing of the air will take what you're saying and take it to him and tell him. What is it that from? And how did my grandmama and my great granddaddy know that? So, except they took that scripture and, you know, and yeah, that's like, someone must be talking about me because I just called out their name. And if the right hand is, they were saying something good about it. And if the left, they were saying something negative. I'm like, how are y'all getting all this stuff, you know? They were saying all those things like, oh, there's a dead cat on the line. I'm like, I'm looking at the phone.
Oh, Lord.
But talking over my head, but they were talking stuff that was coming from the Bible. So I just said that because of what you said about people talking about other people. And
okay.
I think, too, the worst thing about it, like you say, you eavesdrop or you hear part of something, the worst thing is if you only get part of the situation or part of hearing the truth and you go off telling something half-cocked, and it's just like when we had the game of people all line up shoulder to shoulder, like 10 people in a line, and you tell something to the first person, they have to pass it on. Well, you know, I don't know if it's people's hearing, dullness of hearing, maybe it's people in that line, that the filters are not up to par. And some may have Holy Ghost filters. I'm switching to the spirit part. And some may have carnal filters. But by the time it gets to the end of the line, it doesn't sound anything like what
you
say. So when our spiritual filters are up, we have to be sure that whatever God said at the beginning of the line, his word is still
there
at the end of the line.
Right. Exactly. Awesome.
So it says that if faith be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, when I think about when Adam sinned, it brought a separation. We were now alienated from God. So when Christ died on the cross now and he comes in, dwells in us, life is there now. because if so the life is there because now we are now again connected and joined, that relationship is reconciled. So now we are not separated anymore. We are now one with Christ because now he dwells in us, right? So now because we are now reconciled with him, life is there now. Eternal life is here now. So death can't have nothing, no hold on us because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the one that separated us from death because death cannot contain us. Because it already showed us how it could not hold Jesus. And so now, if we recognize that now we have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us, death has no power. And not just physical death. See, we think of the wrong death. Physical death, spiritual death has no power over us. We're going to transition. But we can't die because death has no victory over us. No sting if death can because of now we have the presence of God. We have been united back with God, so now we are not separated because death was a separation from God, right? That's what death was. It wasn't the expiration of time on earth. It was a separation from God. And so sometimes we get those two mixed up. Because we all going to leave this body, but that's not death. Death is being separated totally from God. And so now when Jesus came, and now we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, if we have it on the inside, that makes us alive. We have life now. We are communed back with God. The relationship that was broken is now reconciled back to God. We're back with God now. So death have no victory. Now, death have no power. And so that's why we got to continue to walk in the Spirit so the flesh cannot have dominion over us. And so he said, so the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, well in you. And so before we go, and I know time is about to expire, but I thought about this scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Mr. Jimmy, one of his really favorite scriptures, I believe. It says that, for if we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, We have a building of God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly designed to be clothed. We want to be clothed in that eternal body, upon which our house is from heaven. If we so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. In this body here, we groan. We want to be present with that one that got, he with. So he would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that is wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. And so when this tabernacle be dissolved, we got another building, not made by hands, but, hallelujah, but eternal in the heaven. And that's what we're living for, to make sure that that body, hallelujah, is equipped and ready to go, because at the sound of the trumpet, dead in Christ will rise first. But I'm glad they won't be able to hinder us that's still alive. We'll be caught up. Oh, glory to meet him in there. Holly, and forever, woo, to be with the Lord. Hey, you talking about happy ever after. Oh, Cinderella ain't got nothing on us. Sleeping Beauty ain't got nothing on us. You talking about happy ever after. To be forever to be with the Lord. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And John said, that city has gold streets, holy gates. Woo, hallelujah. We got something to look forward to, y'all. So no matter how tough it gets here, we got something better. So when this earthly house is dissolved, don't worry about it. We got a place we can go to. Amen. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So those of you who have your offerings, pay your tithes, go ahead and do so. You can go online. Those who are online, just go online and pay. Amen. And if you do give anything, please text it to Pastor Ann, 770-906-0607. And then those of you here, you have your card, the square here. So give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So men given to your bosom. So we thank God for the offering. God, we ask you to bless this offering. Oh, God, let it multiply, God, in the name of Jesus, that your kingdom, oh, God, would find root, would be multiplied. Oh, God, and we have overabundance to be able to do ministry in everywhere you call us to do it. God, we pray. For those who will be able to give, oh God, you bless them right now in the name of Jesus. According to your word, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, deliver us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. See you next time. Next Wednesday, same.